I first want to begin by introducing myself. I'm maybe an unfamiliar face to many of you, maybe familiar to some of you. My name is Father Greg Michaud. I'm a priest of the Diocese of La Crosse. I spent my first 2 years of priesthood here in Wausau at St. Michael's and Resurrection Parishes and chaplain at Newman High School. I'm now assigned as pastor of St. Mary's Immaculate Conception in Neillsville. I got to know Father Fragelli when I was here, and now Canon Huberfeld, and I am honored that they asked me to preach during this Mass for your novena. And what a beautiful subject to preach on, but our Lord and our Lady. Our gospel this morning is taken from John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27, where Jesus gives Mary to John and John to Mary. But how much more there is for us in that. What I want to do is I want to put this in a broader context. Not that scripture is ever out of context, but I want to bring it into a broader context as we pray with scripture, and I hope you all do each day. It's always good to look at what comes before, immediately before and immediately after the passage that has been given us or we have chosen. And so I want to begin in verse 23 to give us that broader context. Why? Because this really goes to the heart of our Marian devotion. But our devotions are not ends in and of themselves, but rather a means to a greater end, which is a deeper devotion. But it can be very easy for us to see the devotion as an end of itself. But I think this broader context will help us to see the fruit of a true deep devotion through our devotions. And in this case, devotion to and through Our Lady. So, of course, the scene is the crucifixion. And at the foot of the cross are Mary, our Blessed Mother, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene, and the beloved disciple. And so, stepping back to verse 23, we read, "The soldiers, therefore, when they had crucified him, took his garments, and they made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat, his tunic." Now the coat was without seam, woven from top throughout. They said then one to another, "Let us not cut it, but let us cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saying, they have parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they have cast lots. And the soldiers indeed did these things." And now our gospel from today. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore had seen his mother, and the disciple standing whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." After that, he said to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. There's an eternity to unpack here, an infinitude, I should say. But let me start by saying this. Note the word "took" in reference to the soldiers who crucified him. Why is that important? Because in the spiritual life, in a life of Christ, there is no taking. It is a desperate form of selfishness. And it's contra love. What did they take? Well, when soldiers go to war and there's a victor, the victors take the prized possessions of the defeated to themselves. They usurp it. They steal it. But here's where they get it wrong. Jesus' only material possession was his clothing. And this was special clothing because this tunic had no seam. This is the dress of the high priest. Prized possession? You bet. But merely material? Absolutely. And so what they thought, that gold that they thought that they were usurping to themselves, disintegrates in the end. Now contrast that with Jesus on the cross. What is he doing? He is exercising his office as the singular high priest. And what does the priest do? The priest offers sacrifice, and this singular high priest offers himself as sacrifice. And where his enemies take to themselves, he continues to give of himself and even his mother. There where you think the sacrifice is, there's nothing left. He has now allowed himself to be nailed to the cross, having spent every ounce of energy. But in addition, even gives his mom. To whom? Notice that this is the disciple that Jesus loved. Nowhere in John's gospel do you see John, who is the author, the apostle John, the brother of James, the sons of Zebedee. Nowhere do you see him referring to himself as John. Why? Because he is what we call in biblical theology a corporate personality. That's not a multiple personality, a disorder. Rather, it is a singular person who represents a great number of people. If he were to identify himself as John, all that was done to John would be only for John. But instead, identifying himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved, all that happened to John and for John and through John is done for and in and through us. Because who is the disciple that Jesus loves? It's you. And it's me. And Jesus says to his mother, "Woman." That seems off-putting, doesn't it? Well, to those who do not have the fullness of the truth, it would seem that way. But we see in that word woman not a statement of denigration or minimization, but rather a great statement of honor. This is the same word for woman in the Greek that you see in Genesis 3:15. Where God promises a Savior. That we see in John 2:4 at the wedding feast at Cana. That we read here in John 19, and we will see the culmination of which this woman is clothed with the Son in Revelation 12:1. Woman, behold your son. And to the disciple he loves, you and me, behold your mother. And just as Jesus tells us that we can call God our Father, Abba, which translated from the Hebrew can mean daddy. Yes, Jesus says we can call his Father our Father, but even in that most intimate term, daddy. And so we can call his mother our mother, and in that most intimate term, mama. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. What does that mean? What it doesn't mean is that we take Mary in through our devotions, simply into our homes. Lord, I'm not worthy to receive you under my roof. Into our temples, our bodies, our hearts. So that we grow in greater affection for her only and through her Jesus. It's a part of it, but it's incomplete. Rather, when we take her into our heart and with her him, there is a greater affection, but there's an even greater invitation of imitation of the son and his mother to do what? To love. What does that look like? Look at the crucifixion. This is my body given for you. Our devotions must lead to a deeper devotion, which means to a deeper form of love, which means to a deeper self-giving to others for their sake. So as we take Mary into our homes, into our hearts, we say, Mama, pray for me that I too may sacrifice for the good of your other sons and daughters. The more we make of Mary, it is not the less we make of Christ, but rather the more we make of him. Why? Because she is his crowning jewel of creation. Where the first Eve surrendered that immaculate status when God created her, the new Eve preserved it. Mary no more diminishes the beauty and the divinity of her son, the light of the world. She no more diminishes her son, S-O-N, any more than the moon diminishes the sun, S-U-N. And in fact, the more of the moon that we see, the greater the light of the sun is reflected. And so it is with Mary. And so it will be with us if we imitate her who imitates him. This is what it means to say, Mother Most Amiable. Because the word amiable translates to lovable. And that doesn't just mean cuddly and I want to take the person to myself. It means that the person themselves who is amiable loves at its greatest capacity. Total self-giving. And so we pray today, Mother Most Amiable, pray for us who have recourse to thee, that we might go and glorify the Lord by the way we live our lives in imitation of him and her.